Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, open them up to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 20. This is the fifth book of the Bible, way up towards the front. Deuteronomy chapter 20. And I'll be reading from the New International Version of the Bible. I would love to read all the other verses, but I was just struck by this first verse. This is what it says. In the New International Version, it says, "When you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, will be with you." Amen. Father God, this morning I pray that you would help me to communicate what these words mean and what you expect of us this morning. What you expected of them then, but what you expect of us this morning as we read these words. We thank you for your presence. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. And God's people say, amen. Amen. That word "when" refers to a time. When, he says. It's a future time, a certain inescapable future time. When you go to war. When. That word "when" is different than the word "if." It's different. "If" describes an uncertain possibility. If. He doesn't say "if." Had God used the word "if," it's quite possible that war may never happen. Right? But that's not the word he uses here. God is addressing a specific instance. When you go to war. Now, I don't know if you remember in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a whole long list of things that Solomon wrote. Things you can expect in life. A long list of them. He says things like, you know, there's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and to uproot. And he gives a whole long 28 things that you can expect in life. And there, after all of that long list, the final thing he says is a time for war and a time for peace. As if, just like everything else you can expect in life, you can expect this. War is going to happen. Conflict is going to happen. And when it does, here are some things you should consider. This is the message God was giving to his people. You are going to see your enemy with things you don't have. Horses and chariots. You're going to see that. When war happens, when you go to war, this is what you're going to see. They're going to have things you don't have. They're going to have some things that seem to put this conflict at odds, or, you know, you'll be at a disadvantage. Your soldiers will be walking into battle. Their soldiers will be riding in on chariots. Your soldiers will have those little thorns in their socks, man, irritated, tired. Their soldiers will be rested and ready. You'll be at a disadvantage. They'll have a military advantage over you. Your soldiers are going to have to trample down through the valleys. They would meet in these huge open plains to have war against one another. Yours are going to have to walk there. The others will ride there. Listen to what God is telling his people. When war happens, when this happens, the first thing you will notice is your disadvantage. Listen to what he's saying here. Remember, the word "if" is not used here. Not only will there be this technological disadvantage, people with chariots against people without chariots, you will see an army greater than yours. That's what he says. That army will be larger, more numerous. When you go to war and see these things, when this happens, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, will be with you. He's talking about inevitable conflicts. Inevitable conflicts with inevitable victory. God is guaranteeing a win. Do you see it here? Even though the odds are stacked against you, God is guaranteeing a win. God is guaranteeing that he will be exactly who he was when Israel left Egypt. And if you remember that story, man, God was shining through with glory, triumphant. He gave them the victory. Now, this is different than the New Testament passage we read where Jesus is telling us to turn the other cheek. So, I know some of us have been turning cheeks all our lives, right? You're fresh out of cheeks to turn, right? I'm done. I ain't got no, you got a couple cheeks I can borrow? I'm out of cheeks. Turning cheeks our whole life. This isn't a cheek-turning passage. God is saying, march right into that conflict. When conflict comes, don't turn away and be afraid. When it happens, in Joshua chapter 17, Joshua tells a story of how fearful the people became when they were confronted with an army, exactly like what God is describing here. It was a large army, and they had iron chariots, iron. But Joshua said, though the Canaanites have iron chariots, and though they are strong, you can drive them out. This is what he told the people. You can drive them out. And he encouraged the people and say, basically letting them know that there is no weapon formed against you that's going to prosper. God is with us. God is with us. Let's go forward. All we need to do is trust the Lord. That's all we need to do. It is his battle. Let's trust him. But this kind of faith isn't always the case. You don't always find this kind of faith. This is what... You know, we had messages on Friday, a couple of really good messages. Gary and Randall spoke some powerful messages centered around this idea of faith, believing God. In 1 Samuel, and here's an example of where their faith failed them. 1 Samuel 13:5, it says that the Philistines gathered to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots, two men in each chariot. And these are the kind of chariots where, you know, you have the wheels, but the axles of the wheels, they didn't just stop at the wheel. They continued to go outward. Sometimes they would have knives on those long axles, and they would just like mow through the other army, just ride their chariots right through. People try to jump over them, duck underneath them, and just kind of mow people down. Two men in each chariot, and the soldiers as numerous, the Bible says in that passage, as numerous as sand on the seashore. And the Bible says that when the men of Israel saw their situation was critical and that their army was hard-pressed, they hid in caves and thickets, among rocks and in pits and cisterns. It even says some of the Hebrews even crossed the Jordan into the land of Gad and Gilead. They took off. They ran. They retreated from the battle. Like a chicken in a cornfield. Have you ever seen a chicken in a cornfield? Me either. Every other army during this time had horses and chariots. Every other army had these kinds of instruments for war. It gave them security. It gave them might, strength. It's what they exerted whenever they were confronted by some other force. This was standard equipment at this time. The Egyptians had it, Philistines, Syrians had it, everybody but Israel. Everybody but Israel, because Psalm 27 and 8 reminds us that some trust in these things, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. I wonder if you trust in the name of the Lord. They were brought to their knees, the Bible says, but we are raised up and stand firm. So right here in this passage, Deuteronomy chapter 20, God is giving this message to Moses just days before Moses dies. This is right before he dies. In fact, these words, Deuteronomy, it's a reading again. The law is being given again. He's already given it in the first four books of the Bible, what God expects of people. Deuteronomy is another reading of the law, a reminder to the people. Let me remind you before I pass away. I'm not going to make it into the promised land. You guys will make it. Let me give you the final instructions. I'm about to die. Here is what God wants you to know. As you face the enemy, as you travel deeper into the enemy's territory, as you take other steps, further steps, farther and deeper, as you make yourself vulnerable, as you make yourself a target in the land where the enemy lives, as you rise up, as you become more convinced, more confident of your calling, let me give you some things to prepare you, some things to think about when the enemy begins to target you, when the enemy sets its sights upon you, upon your household and your children. I want you to know how to prepare yourself. As you go deeper into the enemy's territory and the threat of attack becomes more and more imminent, it is necessary that you prepare for conflict. Conflict is going to happen. Not if, it's when. War is inevitable. You're going to face a fight. It may not be for you a large-scale war like nation against nation. Sometimes it shows up in difficult people. You ever face that kind of war? Sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes it's not people at all. Sometimes it's spiritual, where you're fighting against forces and powers and things that seem to mock the fact that you have faith in God. And every step you try to take, there is something pushing you back, and conflicts are created all around you. You don't know where is this coming from. Sometimes it's financial, social, medical. Unexpected obstacles that just fall out of the sky, circumstances that seem as though, man, I cannot recover from this. Things that take from you, things that slow you down and press against you. What God is describing here is serious. This is some serious business. Conflicts that threaten to completely overwhelm you. When you see this enemy, when you go into war and you see this enemy, this is what it's going to look like. And God is forming in the minds of his people a picture of what war is going to look like. When you face this enemy will put you at a disadvantage. You're going to stand against someone or something that makes it seem like you will never win. That is the picture God is painting here. And when you see that, trust in the Lord. Don't be afraid. Trust in the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. He's describing something very serious. Conflicts that threaten to take everything from you. You know, there's a type of fear that mobilizes people. There's a type of fear and you see it best when there's an earthquake. You see the slowest people, man, they're like, "Woo, what was that?" You know? People that, you know, usually slow, have a hard time getting, they're up. And I remember we had a Friday night. A guy preached on a Friday night, and he was a guest, and he was talking about faith. I remember he was talking about faith and trusting God. Don't be. Then there was an earthquake. We were in the back. There was an earthquake, and by the time I said, "Is that a?" He was already out the door on the side, down Orchard. You know, come back. You know. There is a fear that mobilizes people, an alarm of some sort. There are things that get us moving, but there's also a fear that paralyzes. There's also fears that stop us. And this is exactly the kind of fear that the Lord is warning his people against here in this passage. That even though the army may have an advantage over you, even though when you face conflict, you look at it and you say to yourself, you know what, this seems completely insurmountable. This seems beyond my ability to overcome. When you face that kind of a situation, trust in God. God is saying, let me show you what I can do when you face this kind of situation. That even though the enemy may have an advantage or the upper hand, even though they are more numerous, even though they are better equipped, fierce, with armies made up of thousands of chariots, don't back down from the fight. Don't turn and run. Don't decline the confrontation. Don't give up. Don't doubt your success. Stand firm and watch what God does. wants to do. Know that God is with you. The same God who delivered you out of Egypt. That's what he reminds them. Do you remember what he did to the Egyptian army? To this very day, they're still at the bottom of the Red Sea. God completely destroyed them. God wiped them out. God emptied Egypt of their army. Totally decimated that nation. Never again would they ever pursue anybody. So whatever it is you may face, it could be financial, it could be social or medical, it could be some kind of a challenge that comes to you conflicts at work, at home. The same God that saves Israel from Egypt can surely save you in the conflicts that you face. Isaiah 41:10, it says, "So do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah 31, verse 1, it says, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitudes of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord." Woe to you. You know what woe means? Something like that. Yeah. Woe. Here God is informing the people that war is inevitable. It's inevitable. That there will be frightening encounters. We're going to face them. I've faced them. I've faced many. And I still have more to face. You have more to face. Personally, against your family, threatening your future, your good name. You'll face conflicts when they come. And they'll come. And they're going to appear to be completely overwhelming. He's informing his people that it's inevitable. Frightening. When you see the enemy before you, they will appear totally invincible. In fact, it may look like an army. It may not even look like an army at all. It may look like maybe in a courtroom. It may be a phone call or a letter. It may be something you hear from your children's principal. It may be a bunch of red tape that you have to get through to get your children back, your family back. It may be overcoming an addiction or a condition. It may not look like an army at all. It may seem like something else. When you face conflict and you look at it and it seems as though I cannot beat this, I can't win here. That's the picture God is painting in the minds of the people. You will stand against an adversary that you are convinced you will not win. Not if. When this happens, trust in the Lord. He is reminding his people that he has never failed them yet, and he doesn't intend to. In Joshua chapter 11, verse 4, nations came against Joshua. I counted about 12, 13 nations in that passage that came against him with all of their troops and a large number of horses and chariots. And this is not too long after Moses shared these things with the children of Israel. Joshua was there. He heard it. And when they came against him, the Bible says, with horses and chariots and a huge army as numerous as the sand on the seashore. But the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them, because by this time tomorrow I will hand them all over to Israel slain." And that's exactly what happened. He marched into battle. He probably, in his mind, he was probably thinking, "I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how this is going to happen." But you know what? It happened back when we left Egypt. I remember, man, we were on our way, and we looked behind us, and there were horses and chariots. There was an army approaching us, aggressive. They were coming after us to do us in. It didn't seem like there was any way of escape, but somehow God did something miraculous. He opened up the sea for us, and what was an opportunity for us was fatal to the enemy. God knew how to deliver us. And the same God is with us today. God did exactly what he promised. You know, it's my prayer that none of us will ever have to face a battle like this. That's my prayer. It's my prayer that none of us will ever receive a threatening phone call or letter or bad news of any kind of intimidating or threatening assault on your family. It's my prayer that that never happens. It's my prayer that you never face conflict at all. But when you do, and when you see it, and it looks entirely impossible, don't back down. Don't back down. Don't be afraid. Don't give up. Head straight into the fight with confidence that God is with you. Don't give up. Don't slow down. Don't let stuff go. You know, I'm going to take this off and start taking off your armor and setting it aside. Don't give up. Don't slow down your pace. Go right into the conflict because God wants to prove himself in your life. We may not have faced our biggest battles yet, but the good news is that Jesus has. In fact, he has overcome the world. Have you faced conflict? Have you seen an approaching army? Think about right now. Is there an army that threatens you right now? Is there an adversary? An adversary threatening you right now? Your health, your well-being, your family. Your good name. Is there something that you're up against? Are you set against something that seems insurmountable? I can't win. Do you seem small in the eyes of whatever it is you're facing tonight or this morning? God is saying that he is with you. He is with you. And if you need his help, he is here to deliver. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? I would love to go on into the rest of this passage. He doesn't call first the commanders of the army. He calls the priest. And he calls the priest to talk to the people. After giving these instructions, the priest comes and he kind of reframes the whole situation. This isn't a military situation. This is a spiritual situation. So let me call upon the priest. And the priests are going to talk to you to encourage you. And the priest came. And they began to talk to the people. And it totally reframes the situation. You know, when you face war, this is not a war. It's a spiritual situation. Then he calls upon the commanders of the war. You read it. You can read it yourself. And when he calls upon the commanders of war, don't start recruiting people. Start, you know, releasing people. Those that are afraid. If you're afraid or you started a family, go ahead and go home. God's got this. You planted a garden? Go ahead, plant your seeds. You know, we got this. God's got this. We're not afraid trying to gang up on the enemy. We're not afraid trying to look for all the help we can get. We're not afraid thinking that we have to match them chariot by chariot, horse by horse. Those that trust in those things end up failing. We are going to trust in God. How do you do that? How do you do that? Man, when conflict comes, one of the first things people begin to do is reprioritize things in their lives. God, where have I been? God, what have I been doing? What is priority in my life? Have I been seeking you? Have I been serving you? It humbles us when we see the enemy. It humbles us. It puts things into proper perspective. We begin to evaluate things. We begin to cut ugly things out of our lives, things that don't belong anymore. We want to go into the battle with clean hands, with a clean heart. We start to prioritize our lives. We start to humble ourselves. We start to reach out to the proper kinds of people to pray for us. Help us. Do you have counsel? Do you have wisdom? Join me in prayer. Pray for my family. Pray for my wife. Pray for my children. I'm faced with this struggle. I'm faced with this issue. I need God to help me. And we begin to cut stuff loose. Stuff that doesn't belong in our lives in the first place. And God shows up. Man, God shows up in ways that are completely unexpected. And He wants to do that in our lives. He wants to do that in our lives this morning. Father God, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, Father God, for a word that is so hard to understand, Lord God, that conflict is inevitable, that struggles are inevitable, but You teach us how to enter into conflict with confidence, how to enter into the struggles of life with confidence, whatever it may look like. It may be, Father God, threatening, it may be fearful, but Father, You give us assurance that You will go with us. You have displayed Your power against Egypt. You have displayed Your power and Your will for Your people. And I pray this morning, Father God, when we face conflict, when we see an enemy that is more numerous than we are, more powerful than we are, when we are faced against an enemy, Father God, and we seem to be weak, we seem to be, Father, unmatched against an enemy stronger than we are. I pray, Father God, that we would remember who You are in battle, strong and mighty. And I pray for Your deliverance for Your people. Father God, that we would remember You, that we would know You, that we would trust You. And this morning, Lord God, we seek You for Your help. Strengthen us, O God, in the face of conflict. Strengthen us, Father God, as we face our enemies. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, are you fighting? Are you fighting for your faith? Are you fighting for your calling? Are you fighting for your family? Are you fighting for your name, a good name? Are you fighting for your reputation? Fighting for your job? Fighting for your health, your wellness, your sanity, peace of mind? Fighting for your home, a place to live? Are you fighting for what you have to maintain? Are you fighting for your future? Oh God, I pray this morning, meet us in this fight. Meet us, Father God. Send, my God, oh, Your angels, my God, to fight a battle for us, my God. Fall upon us, my God, with grace and mercy. Strengthen us in the battle, Father. Help us to remember You in the fight. Help us not to turn, my God, but to face forward, to march into battle with confidence and strength, Father God. Help us this morning, Lord God. Oh God, not to let our families down, not to let people down, Lord God, to march into battle with confidence, to know that the Lord is the Lord. The Lord Almighty will fight for us, my God. I pray, raise us up. Give us strength and confidence, I pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Oh God, help us. Strengthen us, oh God. Strengthen us, my God. Be with us. Oh God, we thank You.